Many diplomats and politicians wonder how communication-based public diplomacy can be conducted when there is so much pressure to respond at high speed and make themselves heard amongst a cacophony of voices. Many believe that it is the business of a nation's embassy to be effective on social media, but others think that it is official diplomacy that should be effective. The answer is more complicated than it may seem, because diplomacy and media, no strangers to each other, are becoming entwined in new ways. Publics expect to be spoken to and they expect to be heard. This makes listening, one of the most underrated of diplomatic skills, exceptionally important. If diplomats fail to listen, they will miss important voices, many of them belonging to non-state actors. In Egypt in 2011, a social media page of We Are All HEDs provided real-time insights into the movement that was reshaping Egypt. Intelligence services have come to recognize the value of monitoring online products of Al-Qaeda and its siblings. On a more benign level, listening to global publics can provide invaluable insights about social and political attitudes, which can allow diplomats to more precisely evaluate the environments in which they work. The content on Sina Weibo provides useful information about trends in China, and similar examples abound. Now, pulling together all these many factors, we wonder whether to be optimistic or pessimistic about the future of diplomacy. The great equalizer effect of new communication technologies can bring unprecedented closeness to the individual citizen's relationship to her or his state, and therefore enhances the work of diplomats who champion democracy, human rights, and related ideals. As for speed, a key element of real-time diplomacy, there is no going back to the day when a president could go sailing and feel confident that with the wind behind him he could outpace the news cycle. Instead, we must recognize that a tweet from an embassy can precipitate a political crisis and a video can ignite violent mobs. Real-time diplomacy must be developed with full recognition of such new realities. As an expert from Chatham House, I remain optimistic about this new diplomatic environment because I have faith in the positive effects of broader dissemination of information to broader publics. Diplomats will gradually adjust to the newest media forums, just as they did to the advent of television. Well, I think NGOs have already proved that they are using social media and other internet-based media greatly to their advantage. One organization that comes to mind is Doctors Without Borders, who are able to provide content using their website, provide video and statistics and that sort of thing that news organizations and individuals may take. And in other words, no longer does Doctors Without Borders have to rely on the BBC covering a particular case. They can get that information out on their own, perhaps not to as large an audience. But if they make enough noise, presumably the BBC and others will pick it up. So I think, getting back to that whole issue of empowerment, this is a tool for NGOs and others to use that is really unprecedented and letting you reach out to directly to the public. And people who are interested in what you're doing now know to look for you online, to look for your product. So you don't have to sit around any longer saying, if only we could get the news media to cover this. You can generate on your own, and that's really important. I don't know what the FCO does exactly, but I know at the US State Department one of Hillary Clinton's senior aides worked on social media in the Obama 2008 campaign. He came over to work for her and got into this idea of 21st century statecraft, which includes the use of social media. And there is training for State Department employees. And they also provide tech workshops around the world as part of US public diplomacy. So not only were us diplomats being trained, but also people elsewhere in the world. Knowing that even if they don't have pervasive technology, newest technology at the moment, they will be getting there soon. It will not take over from traditional diplomacy. It's still kind of anarchic, and that's which I guess regular diplomacy is too sometimes. But there's still a group of people wanting to retain a fair amount of control, of the actual policymakers wanting to retain control.